Let everybody say amen. Amen. Hasn't God been good to you this morning? Amen. Then you ought to say amen. Amen. There's nothing like being able to wake up early on a Sunday morning, get yourself out of bed, get dressed, and leave your house to come to the Lord's house. And you ought to be eternally grateful for that. God is so very good to each and every one of us. And if you don't think so, just think of the alternative that could have been you today. Let us, for a moment, go back to the scripture that was read for your hearing. We'll be looking at that in a few moments. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10 and 11, but in particular, verse number 10. But before we go any further, I know that there are some in the audience this morning that have sickness going on around them, and for them, we are still in prayer for each and every one of you. And I would ask that the church would continue to pray one for another. Pray for each other. And as I always tell you, whether you pray for me or not, I'm going to be praying for you just the same. So we should all take that same attitude. Pray for one another. Don't worry about whether they're praying for you. Just pray for them. They'll pray for you at some point in time. So let us take a moment and now go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and wonderful, mighty Heavenly Father, it is because you have blessed us that we are able to be out here this morning, and for this we are eternally grateful. We thank you so very much, O Heavenly Father, that you have lengthened out our lives to give us this opportunity. We come praying this morning, Father, for the congregation, especially this local congregation, the Stony Island Church of Christ. We are praying, Father, that as we continue on in these services, that the things that we do will be found favorable and acceptable in thy sight. We pray for the leadership here. We pray for their families. We pray for the membership here. And we pray for their families, but especially for those who are sick or suffering sickness in their families. We just pray and asking you, O Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, you send the healing touch their way. But if not, give them strength to bear whatever your will might be. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are here today. And we're praying for those that may be on their way that they can make it here safely and secure. And Father, we're praying for those who are traveling the highways and byways today. We just pray that you give them safe passage as well. Father, we thank you for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for them and their families. And we're also praying for those who shall come from this point on. Then, my Heavenly Father, we're asking you, if it be your will, that you would give unto the needy the things that they are in need of, especially food, shelter, and rain, and clothing. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. And we're praying also for the leaders of this world, especially the leader of this country, O Heavenly Father, that they may not make any decisions or anything based that on any premises or that we cannot serve you, O Lord, in spirit and in truth. We thank you so very much for those who are standing on the battlefields all over, whether it be locally or far away in a faraway land. We just thank you, O Lord. And Father, we continue to pray right now and ask you that all things be well with thee. And we thank you, Father, and that if we have been found favorable and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, with these services, we ask for your continued blessing, and we thank you for your Son Jesus, who because he died and lived, we can live forever as well. In his name we continue to ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning from the 15th chapter of the first book of Corinthians, once again, verses number 10 and verse number 11, but in particular, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. So this morning, we just simply want to talk about, for a little while, about grace. If we could use our minds today and to think about and ponder this question, where would we be without God's grace? One simply has to look at where we are with God's grace and then picture us without God's grace. If it were not for God's favoring us with his grace, we could not have the privilege nor the opportunity to say we are where and what we are. It is God that gives to us and allows us to be just what he makes us to be. In this text today, It is an outstanding example of just that. God took a person of great evil and brought out much greatness. And no, He hasn't forgotten about us either. For in each of us, we were sinners who by God, by His divine grace, turned us into saints. So ain't God good this morning, church? Ain't, I know I use the term ain't, but they tell me ain't is okay to use now. So ain't God good? You may not say it now, but God is good. In this lesson today, the first thing we must do, as we have so often done before, we must define grace. So we ask the question this morning, what is grace? Grace is more than closing your eyes and bowing your head and saying, thank you for this bread, Lord, that I'm about to eat. That's a good thing, but I speak of an even greater grace. The grace I'm talking about is that which God has given unto us. Note what the Apostle Paul said. He said, but by the grace of God. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it's His grace which was bestowed upon me and was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He is explaining that I could not, and neither you nor I could be what we are without the grace of God. Neither could we be living the way we are except for the grace of God. To get a better understanding of what God's grace is, simply look at the Word of God in the Bible in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 33. The text tells us that great grace was upon them all. But then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, it calls grace riches. It says the riches of His grace. Grace is good. Grace is a good thing. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 15, it is said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, by His grace it called me. Who does God give His grace to? Well, according to Psalms chapter 84 and verse number 11, He gives grace and glory and will not hold back any good thing to those who walk upright. So that is what grace is this morning, church. So the writer speaks to us in the text when he says, but by the grace of God. Church, if grace did this for someone like that, think what it can do for someone like you and someone like me. Isn't it wonderful, church, when we look at how good grace is, how good the Lord has been to us, how good it is for us to be able to say, I am what I am, but by the grace of God. And when you think about it, church, when you look at the matter even further, and you know just now that you know what grace is, and you understand a little better that grace is God's goodness toward us, God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. Oh, it's not that I'm so good or that you're so good that God is just automatically making you better than the next person. It's His grace that makes you good, and His grace that He shines upon on us to make us what we are today. And I thank God for His grace. His grace saved us. God's grace found us while we were in the grips of sin. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10 and 11, verse number 10 starts by telling us where we were once at. There is none righteous, no, not one. But then in verse number 11, none that understands, none that seeks after God. The grace that God gives us should be handled with care, that it not be in vain. God found us and provided us with grace. You look at the text again in verse number 10 where He says, once again, He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. In other words, I'm going to use the grace that God gives me for the best that I can be. And I am what I am, and I'm going to try to be the best that I can be. God found us and provided us with that grace. And no doubt about it, church, His grace has brought salvation unto us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses number 1, and you had He quickened who were dead in trespasses in sin. But notice verse number 2 of that same chapter. Even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By His grace, we are saved. Grace is so wonderful, church. Grace is so powerful. Church, grace is so good. It's good to be the recipients of God's grace. For grace found us. It teaches us, but more importantly, it saves us. The Bible tells us that grace is such a wonderful thing. And Paul once again said that I am what I am because of His grace. But then in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses number 8, for by grace ye are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God is a wonderful giver, isn't He, church? God is a wonderful giver. And I know from time to time you have relatives, friends, and family members that gives you gifts. We all receive gifts from time to time. And sometimes you want to give those gifts back because you don't like it. It's the wrong color or it's the wrong size. But see, I don't know of anyone who in their right mind would ever want to give grace back, because grace is a one size fits all. Grace is good, church. But no one in their right mind can think of grace as being a bad gift. Grace is a great gift. And I know that we sing about it all the time. We sing, oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, I once was blind, but now I see. We sing these words, church. God's grace is truly, truly amazing. Isn't it wonderful, His grace once again? Grace helps, grace keeps us, church. Once again, the Bible says in verse number 10 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so they believe, so ye believe. Most Bible students this morning are aware of the plight of the old warrior of the New Testament. I speak of the Apostle Paul. We know that he had what he described in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7, what he called a thorn in the flesh. We are not given to know what kind of condition troubled him. What we do know is this, that God, the God that we know and the God that we serve and the God that Paul knew and served, and that same God is able to bring grace out of evil. The same Son of God that saved also us also wore a crown made out of thorns. He wore it for us, church. Therefore, whatever may afflict us, whatever thorn that we may have in our bodies or in our minds, He can make them easier to bear because He has given us grace. So Paul tells us in verse number 8, for this thing I besought the Lord, not one time, not two times, but three different times to take it away. Sometimes, church, when you pray and you ask God for something, He may not answer you on that first time, on that first prayer. He may not even answer you on that second prayer. But by that third prayer, you may get an answer, church. And sometimes you don't realize when you've got the answer and when it's sitting right in front of you. You've got to learn to recognize how good and how wonderful God's grace really is. Someone tells me they don't know how to pray from time. When I meet someone from time to time and they tell me that they don't know how to pray. And I say in my mind, I say, just wait a little while and you'll learn to pray. In his prayers to God for this thorn to be removed, Paul had to go to Him not once, not twice, but three times. No matter how earnestly we pray, God does not always hear us at the time that we think He should hear us. And He does not always answer us in the way that we think He should answer us. But we must learn to ask again and even again and even again. We must learn to hold out for an answer. And that answer sometimes, if it be not the answer that you're seeking, thank God just the same. For God is wonderful and God is great and His grace is merciful and He takes care of us, church. We've got to learn to hold out. But do you remember Jesus even went in prayer to His Father in Gethsemane where for deliverance? He prayed for deliverance. But then He realized just how important that God's work really is. For He said to Him, He said, Father, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. But if not, so sometimes we have to bear a few burdens in this life. Sometimes our burdens get overbearing. And as I always say to you, sometimes you just want to ask the Lord, I know you said that you wouldn't put anything on me more than I can bear, but Lord, do you have to put so much on me all at one time? But God is good enough to know that when we've had enough, He can straighten it out, can't He, church? Oh, yes, He can straighten it out. After Paul's third, three times of prayer, an answer was finally given to him in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. What we are talking about, church, is grace, and that's what was given to him because grace formed God's answer to him. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So if His grace was sufficient for Paul, isn't His grace sufficient enough for us to have this morning? Isn't His grace wonderful, church? Our prayers, as I told you, are not always answered the way we would like for them to be answered. But through God's grace, we have the sufficiency to get by. Sometimes it takes troubles to get us on our knees. Sometimes the troubles can build up so high and so far around you that you can't do anything but fall to your knees and say, Lord, I've learned to humble myself and I'm asking you in prayer, Lord, to grant me some grace, O Lord, and help me to work out this situation. Lord, I'm only what I am because of your grace. Help me to have this grace, O Lord. Our thorns at times can send us running to God for relief. Grace is the answer to all of our thorns, for it's grace that can help us to find the relief that we need. In James chapter 4 in the verses number 6, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And there's nothing more humble than a man falling to his knees or a woman falling to her knees and petitioning the Almighty God. Maybe it's time to humble yourself before the Lord, church. Maybe it's time to say, Lord, I know that I can't carry this burden any further, so I need your help this morning. So when you go back to the text again, and it's Paul is stating it, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. God's grace is never too little. It's always enough to strengthen and comfort us, to support our souls and bring our spirits to cheer. His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. All we need to do is ask in prayer for whatever we need. But you must believe. You must believe that God is able to heal whatever may be wrong with you through His grace. And I thought about it much over the last week or two, when I've been going through some of my own changes. And yes, the preacher goes through changes. And yes, the elders go through changes. And yes, the membership goes through changes sometimes. And sometimes when those changes get on you, you can't do nothing but go to God and just ask Him to relieve me, if you will, Lord. Grant me grace that I may be able to get through this situation that I'm in. Help me, Lord, that I may be able to face whatever I need to face with your help. His grace is sufficient. And if you don't believe His grace is sufficient, get in trouble sometime and then go to Him and ask Him to grant you His grace upon you. When life offers us no mercy, all we need to do is ask for His grace. And this morning, church, I planned a shorter message because I know there's business at hand. When the doctors have no cure for what ails us, God still has grace. When the courts offer no mercy, God still offers His grace. When your well runs dry, God still has grace. Grace stayed up all night last night watching over us while we slept and slumbered. Grace allows us to be here today to serve God in spirit and truth. Then just at the right time, grace woke us up this morning. Throughout the night, while we could not help ourselves, grace and mercy and love took over for us. Isn't grace good, church? Isn't God good, church? God is all right. Grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ, according to John 1 and the verses number 17. Grace through Jesus Christ, according to Acts chapter 15, verse number 11. So if you don't know the Master today, today is a great day to come to know Him, to allow His grace to work in your life. And grace is a good thing. Grace is a wonderful thing. Grace teaches us to become humble, and grace puts us in a position that we may not have ever been in our lives. Grace is good, church. Look what the text says again. But by the grace of God, I like that, because he didn't say by my own willpower or by my own strength. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. In other words, I'm not going to use his grace to do anything but try to do good. Isn't that what grace learns, teaches us to do, church? Grace is wonderful. Grace is good. Grace is what God wants us to receive from him. But you know something? Sometimes we just don't get God's drift. And we just want things to go the way we want them to go. If I prayed to God and asked him, Lord, let me win that big lottery they had last week. And some church folk did. Now, no doubt about it. But if God doesn't let you win that great big lottery, you think that God is not covering you with his grace, some of us. God doesn't gamble. God tells the truth, and he knows the truth, and he is the truth and the light. And I know some said, well, how come that couldn't have been me? Because you probably wouldn't even be here today if that was you. Instead of bringing something to put in the church's basket, you would be running the other way, and you figure that you have everything now, so I don't need the church anymore. But I'll tell you, no matter how much money you get, you still need the Lord and his grace. I think I've told you the story before, but I'm going to tell it again because I may have forgotten it myself. But you can take a man, and you know, they want to clone people these days. At least they want to attempt to clone people. But you can clone a man, if you will. You can raise him up in the finest of society. You can dress him in the finest of clothes. Give him the greatest education that he ever had in his life. Send him to all of the best schools. Get him the best job he's ever had. Give him the best home that he'll ever want to live in. Put him in the best place in this world that he'd ever want to travel to. Allow him to go around the world and back again. And you know something? Still, if he doesn't have Jesus, he's still nothing but a man without Jesus. And you know what, church? Without grace, if you don't accept the grace that God has given you, you'll be nothing but a man without grace. No matter if you're alive, or no matter if you are well, or no matter if you're sick, you still need grace. And God is the grace giver. God is a giver of grace. And grace is wonderful, church. And Paul said once again, but by the grace of God, not by my own grace, not by my own power, not by what I think, not by what I've read, not by what somebody told me, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And when you think about it, church, you ask yourself a couple of questions. And you have to do your own self-inventory. This is not a one-size-fit-all, but we all need to take inventory from time to time. And your inventory is going to be different than my inventory. And my inventory is going to be different than your inventory. What are you looking for in life? What do you want out of life? And then I'll determine what I want out of life. But then when you go back to the bottom line, church, you have to ask yourself, how can I get this? And what's the best way for me to work this program that I have in my mind? And I'll tell you, the best way is to go to God and ask him to give you grace to get through life. And then there are those who will say, well, I heard that Jesus is wonderful. I heard that he is great, and I heard that he is good. And I'm almost done. Don't go to sleep on me right yet. I heard that God is wonderful. I heard that he will do everything to help his people get by. But you know, sometimes we're already getting by, and we don't realize how good off we are. How well off we are, I should say. And when you look at your inventory, You ask yourself, you put down, just like they do on a balance sheet, the accountant does. He puts on the left side one thing, the assets, and on the other side he puts the liabilities. And you ask yourself the question, what are my assets and what are my liabilities? Well, the greatest asset we have is that we are living. We are breathing entities. We are breathing people, I should say. When I'm living, when the blood is still running warm in my veins, I got a chance to reach out and become attached to Jesus. I've got a chance to reach out and portion myself with Jesus. How do I get to become a portion of Jesus? How do I hook myself up with Jesus? Well, you come to the church, first of all, and then you ask somebody, number one, if you don't know, you ask someone to teach you about God. You ask questions. And when you ask questions, you have a right to expect answers. And if the person you're asking can't answer you, you move on. Because none of us know all the answers about everything, do we, church? You may think you know it all, but you don't. We are still learning, church. So when you want to become attached to the Lord, you come by hearing, believing, repentance, confessing, and then being baptized. It's a great day to be baptized in the Lord's church. But what if 25 years ago I was baptized? I went to church for the first 3 years, but I dropped out and I haven't been back since. You need to come back home. You need to come back home. Well, preacher, just tell me, how can I come back home? Well, you go to God, first of all, you ask Him to forgive you of your past troubles and your infractions and your iniquities, if you will. And then you come forward in a few moments here and ask the church to pray for you. And you know something I find not only in this church, but in every church of Christ that I've ever been in, people will come up front and they will stand here and they will face the front and they will tell the front, I guess they're talking to the wall, what's going on. But if you're asking the church to pray for you, you ought to turn around and ask the church and let the church know that you have sinned and you want their prayers. Oh, I'm not saying you have to tell us what you've done. That's not necessary. But you need to at least face me because you're asking me to pray for you. And if you're facing this way, I don't know what you're saying half the time. Because if I stood here and preached this way, somebody would tell me, you can't do that. But yet you'll come up here and you'll face the wall and make your confession to the Lord and ask the church to pray for you. That's not right. You should never be ashamed to stand before God. Because if you are ashamed to stand before God, guess what? That's right. He will be ashamed before His Father of you. So if that is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.